Father in heaven, thank you so much that we can gather together as a church family, your church, here this morning. And we thank you, Father, for the freedom we have to hear your word read and taught. And so, Father, we pray you'll help us to make the most of that opportunity, that we'll listen carefully, consider our lives, and think through how it is that you want us to grow and be mature in Christ. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you to Dave for kind of laying out where we've been and where we are heading. I'd actually planned to do that as well. Today we're thinking about maturity. We started with worship. We thought about community. Thought about service. Next week, mission, with Matt speaking, which will be good. And so, as I say, maturity. Now, as I prepared, I'll get back here. I came across a very interesting article, which is a serious article, but it might give you a chuckle. So here we go. It's all about maturity. Did you know that there is a new syndrome that has been defined? Grown-up kids who won't leave home. Psychologist Professor Omar describes the worldwide phenomenon of a dependence on parents that doesn't stop. There's a question written by the person who is doing the investigation. For the past few years, you've been dealing with a new social phenomenon which you call entitled dependence. What are you referring to? In the course of our work in the clinic, my colleague, the psychologist Dan Dahlberger, and I noticed an intriguing phenomenon. It's a tongue twister for me this morning. It wasn't just parents of adolescents who were coming to us, but also parents whose children are in their 20s and 30s with problems very similar to those of adolescents. You recognise this as a syndrome? Yes. We started to investigate the phenomenon in depth and formulated the term entitled dependence. We discovered that this is a worldwide phenomenon. Instead of leaving home to embark on an independent life, young adults remain dependent on their parents, not only asking for, but actually demanding benefits from them. In many countries, the phenomenon, thank you for repeating that word so many times, is so widespread that new idioms have been developed to describe it. Bamboccioni in Italy, literally big babies. Hotel Mama in Germany, living at Hotel Mama. Boomerang children in Australia. Praseto Shingura, single parasite, in Japan. These young men and women don't leave the home and don't get married because they only want to buy brand names and enjoy themselves and to live as an ideology at their parents' expense. It's nothing less than a pandemic. Self-fulfillment has become the essential thing. If the young person finds himself doing something he doesn't enjoy, both he and his parents perceive that this is something awful, akin to slavery. These young people who, as a result of their parents' good intentions, just keep on getting from them, but aren't able to establish themselves, become less able to act and feel they are less capable. Their conclusion is there's no choice. They have to give me what I want. The parents too have no choice but to adopt that conclusion. They too feel that they have to give. Goes on. The question says, these children also don't take part in household chores. That's correct. This is the entitlement element. When we ask the parents what privileges the young person is getting, they say none at all, but when we check, it's unbelievable. Innumerable services, such as economic services, of course, money for clothes, for going out, buy gadgets. Obviously, the young person gets a car, including gas and repairs. We had one case in which a child attacked his mother because the gas tank was empty in the morning. Domestic services, such as laundry, room cleaning, cooking, shopping, even taking care of the young person's pet. On top of this, the parents arrange things for the young person, matters related to the authorities and the law, bureaucracy, even job interviews and social relations. It's essential to reduce these services because as long as that doesn't happen, there is no hope for the young person. This is crucial. It's a very significant process because it aggravates the symptoms, but parents have to learn to cope with these frictions. And on it goes. So a serious issue, a new syndrome, entitled dependence. Where did I put clicker? There it is. Okay, so we are thinking about maturity. It's interesting. As we as a church have moved towards becoming an independent parish, one of the images that has been put forward in this is talking about St. Paul's as a 40-year-old child still living at home and wanting to grow up and leave the nest and be independent. Not a bad image. And that's what's happening as we move into next year. So let's look at what the Bible has to say about this whole subject of maturity. We're obviously thinking more about Christian maturity, beginning with ministering for maturity. That's why we had the particular passage we heard from Ben this morning. Let me read that again. The Apostle Paul is speaking here. He's describing his ministry. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, the Colossian church, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Now today, don't worry too much about what is lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions or what this whole idea of the mystery is. The main thing I want you to see from these verses is this particular verse here, verse 28. The priority of proclaiming, admonishing and teaching Christ so that all of Christ's people will grow to full maturity in him. Okay, that's what we want to be on about as a church. It's one of our key purposes. So in other words, we must be careful that other priorities apart from this don't take over. We don't want other things to take over from this main game, if you like. This is the priority. So, for example, we've talked about community and we've talked about service. Community and service are signs of a healthy, growing, mature church. But community and service must not take priority over the ministry of the word of Christ, otherwise we won't grow to maturity. This is the starting place. The other thing to say, likewise, is that we mustn't think that mission is the end game for church or for us as individuals. Absolutely, we must be active in mission, proclaiming Christ to unbelievers, but it's not just about winning converts, if you like. Seeing people come to a saving faith in Christ is just the beginning. We want to see every believer growing to maturity. So mission is to be a focus of our church. We'll hear about that next week. But not mission alone. Mission and maturity. We need to ensure that we are growing and not stagnating. And how do we ensure that? Well, I think Paul is telling us here the means to maturity. What is the means? Well, Christ is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in him. So it's pretty clear Maturity results from faithful gospel proclamation, admonition, and teaching. So that's why the word of Christ is right at the center of our Sunday gatherings. The proclamation of the gospel not only brings people to faith in Jesus Christ, but it also grows and matures us as believers. So we preach, and preaching is right at the center of our Sundays. Likewise, we teach. Whilst we learn, grow, and mature as we listen to Sunday sermons week by week, there's nothing like meeting in small groups, Bible studies, growth groups, whatever you want to call them, in order to be taught the word of Christ and therefore grow and mature. They're like little hothouses for growth and maturing in Christ. That's why Debbie and I have been so encouraged this year to see people meeting in our home on a Tuesday night. I know the other groups as well that are meeting. But it's been lovely to see people getting back into growth group or people new to growth group coming along on a Tuesday evening. It would be great to think that there might be more people as we head into 2019 who seriously consider and take up the opportunity to gather in small groups in order to be taught the word of Christ, to discuss the word of Christ together, to grow in understanding the word of Christ and therefore in maturity in him into the new year. So that's proclamation, teaching. The third word he uses here to describe his ministry is admonishing. This is a stronger word, meaning to reprimand firmly or to advise or urge someone earnestly. You know, it's heartfelt to admonish someone. You really are urging someone to a certain course of action or to warn someone of something to be avoided. Now, on occasion, God's word will admonish us. So we'll hear it taught on a Sunday in a sermon, or we'll be in Bible study group and we'll hear something. Something will be discussed that admonishes us. We feel like there's something I need to change. I need to make a change in my life as a result of hearing this from God's word. So we are admonished by God's word. We will never publicly admonish one another. So here on a Sunday, we're not going to get someone up the front and admonish them in front of the congregation publicly or in a small group even. We want to be very careful that we don't ever kind of publicly, you know, in front of 8, 10 people, 6 people. We don't want to publicly admonish people. That would be inappropriate. God's word might admonish, but we, as the instruments of that admonishment, wouldn't want to do that publicly. That would be inappropriate and out of line. But we might come across a time where we might need to privately, personally admonish another. I realise it's not easy. We don't have to do that, but sometimes we find that we need to. It's much harder. And I think one-to-one ministry is important in this, meeting one-to-one, discussing things. But I'm going to say more about one-to-one later. Let me move on to the second point. Maturity is about knowing the full riches of Christ. Let me read from chapter 2 of Colossians. Paul says, I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. What does this teach us about maturity? Christian maturity is all about having the full riches of complete understanding of Christ. Knowing that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in him. Some years ago, there was great controversy surrounding a book. I've got it in my notes here. I'm hesitant to say it publicly, but here we go. Written by Brian Houston, the lead pastor of Hillsong. Here is the book he wrote, You Need More Money. So basically, as the title and the subtitle suggests, it was all about how God wants to bless you with more money. Now, I want to say today, yes, it's true, God wants you to be rich, not financially, necessarily. He wants you to be rich in your understanding of Jesus. He wants you to have the full riches of complete understanding. He wants you to know the treasure that you have in Jesus. He is like a treasure box that is bottomless. There is more and more and more riches to be found in Jesus. The treasure you will find in Christ is wisdom and knowledge. He will help you to truly understand the world and life and death and eternity and God and yourself. He will enable you to live well in God's world, to be wise about everything, people, relationships, family, finance, hardship, suffering, everything. The knowledge and wisdom available in Christ, the Son of God, is bottomless, and the mature get that. That's what Paul's saying. The mature get that. They know that there are always more riches to enjoy in Jesus. They never say, I'm bored with Jesus. They never say, I'm bored of hearing the same message at church all the time. Message of the gospel. They never say, I want to move on. Of course, Jesus and the gospel are important. They're central. But now I'm looking for something more. Something new. Something a bit more satisfying. Something that will fire up my faith again. As though that can be found somewhere else. Apart from in Jesus, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul says we never move on. We never graduate from Jesus and his gospel. In fact, growing in the full riches of Christ is the antidote to getting sucked in by what Paul calls fine-sounding arguments that deceive, like, you need more money. And we see that in verse 4. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. Fine-sounding arguments such as you need more money. God wants you to be rich financially. God's purpose for you is to be healthy and wealthy. These kinds of fine-sounding arguments, I mean, that'd be great, wouldn't it? That'd be great. Sounds good. He has plans for you, plans to prosper you. Well, that'd be nice. Plans to make you great and successful. A person of influence for Jesus. I almost need to say Jesus with an American twang there. These kinds of fine-sounding arguments, I mean, they sound great. They're enticing. Who doesn't want to be successful? Who doesn't want to be influential for Jesus? All sounds so good, and it may sound oh so right and true. Here's another fine-sounding argument. The most important thing in life is to be happy. You know, the great Aussie dream. Sounds so good. Sounds so right. There's a great picture. Is that the classic Aussie dream there? I don't know. Got the vintage car. Hedonism. the ethical theory that pleasure, in the sense of satisfaction of desires, is the highest good and the proper aim of human life. It's a very popular view of life. It's the Aussie dream. Hedonistic lifestyle, pursuit of pleasure, sensual self-indulgence. So appealing. So appealing. So easy to be deceived. That's why we need to know the full riches, the treasures of wisdom that are found in Christ. That's why we need to grow to maturity. That's why we need one another in this process. Point three, the mature church ministers the word of Christ to one another. We need one another. Some of us are more mature than others. That's just a fact. Some of us have been Christians for longer than others. Some of us have been Christian for a short time, some for a long time. Some have drunk deeply from the word of Christ, others haven't. Some have drunk deeply in the Lord through suffering and hardship, others have. That's just the nature of church, and it's good. Yes, a believer is a believer. Anyone trusting in the Lord, faith the size of a mustard seed, and salvation in the Lord Jesus, that's fantastic. Praise God, absolutely. We're not saved by our level of maturity, but all that said, there are different levels of maturity, and that's okay. That means we can learn from the mature. It's a rich blessing of church life to be able to do that. So as Paul says further on in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. So it's not just Paul the apostle who wants to proclaim, admonish, teach. He's saying, no, that you guys, the Colossian church, the church at Laodicea, St. Paul's Terry Hills, you can teach and admonish one another in the Lord Jesus. We all have that responsibility to one another. It's not just the job of the minister or your group leader. We are to have this ministry of maturity to one another. We're all responsible. So, which brings me back to the one-to-one idea, one-to-one ministry. When I say one-to-one, yes, we catch up with one another personally. We have coffee. We have something to eat. We have a beer. We talk. We share life. We encourage one another. That is great. That's really important. We want to be doing that for sure. As we meet up in one-to-one type settings, we might decide, we're going to catch up once a month, once a fortnight. We're going to be a bit more deliberate about our catch-ups. And when we meet together, we're going to read a bit of God's word together. And we're going to be growing in God's word. We're going to read a book together, a Christian book together. We want to grow in maturity. We want to encourage each other in growing in our maturity in Jesus. Let's do that together. Let's commit to doing that for 12 months, maybe 2 years. Let's reassess it. That kind of one-to-one as well. Both those kinds of one-to-ones are really important. Important for community, important for service, important for maturity. Especially the kind of one-to-one that puts the word of Christ at the centre of our meeting up together. Really helpful for maturity. So I'm thankful to God that in the past I've had people who were willing to meet with me one-to-one like that. And we're able to read the Bible together, and they were able to help me to understand things better, teach me, admonish me from time to time. And I've been able to grow in my faith in the Lord Jesus through such meeting up. Not just when I first became a Christian, years down the track, people were still able to meet up from time to time, once a month or something like that, and encourage me in my Christian faith. So I'm really thankful to God for that. I'm also thankful to God that over the years I've been able to meet up with others then, in turn, one-to-one, to be able to encourage them in a similar kind of way. So what's been passed to me, I can pass to others. And it'd be nice to think that in our church we have this kind of one-to-one stuff bubbling away under the surface. Someone meeting with you to encourage you and see you growing in the Lord, and you then passing that on to others, meeting up with someone else, encouraging them. That's the culture of a church, and that's a church that I think is growing in maturity in Jesus. Sundays, absolutely. Small groups, yes, absolutely. But one-to-one, even more so. So I'm just encouraging us In our one-to-one, there is some of it happening already, which is fantastic, and encouraging others to consider making it happen themselves. One of the things I want to do in 2019, early next year, is run some training in basic one-to-one type ministry. And perhaps you'd be interested in finding out more about what that would look like. It's not rocket science meeting up one-to-one to read God's word and to pray together, but perhaps a little bit of encouragement, a bit of training might help to get the process started. So if that's something you'd be interested in, please let me know. And as we come into next year, I'll definitely let you know about the plans to do that. Okay. Final points. Maturation of the church is ultimately God's work. Yes, we must minister for maturity, proclaiming, teaching, and monitoring. Yes, we must grow in knowing the full riches of Christ, sitting under faithful gospel ministry. Yes, we must be active as we teach and admonish one another with the word of Christ. But none of this will bring about maturity if God is not working to bless the ministry of his word. We need God to be at work. So we pray. As we proclaim the word of Jesus, as we teach the word of Jesus, as we speak the word of Jesus to one another, we keep praying that God would be at work through the power of his word and spirit to be growing us and maturing us. This is Paul's prayer for the Colossian church. It's a prayer for maturity. It's a prayer that we should adopt for our church. It's a prayer we can adopt for ourselves, for our family, for one another. Paul says back in chapter 1, verse 9, I'm nearly there, so stay with me. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Prayer for growth, for maturity. Knowing God and his will through the Lord Jesus. Why? So that you can have more knowledge and be puffed up with your mature knowledge? No. Verse 10, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. We want to know so that we can do. Knowledge leading to action. The mature person is not the encyclopedia of the Bible who can point you to chapter and verse and quote scripture at you. The mature are the ones who are living in such a way that pleases the Lord. That comes from knowing the will of the Lord through the word, but it's got to lead to action. And so, praise God, we have such examples here that we can follow of mature Christian people who are living out the faith. Examples we can look to. Because of the work of God. It's all God's work. Paul's praying for that work. What does living in such a way that pleases the Lord look like? Let me summarise that. It is bearing fruit in every good work. It is growing in the knowledge of God. It is being strengthened by God for endurance and patience through hard stuff. And it's by giving joyful thanks to the Father. It's the first person who is filled with joy and thanksgiving for what they have, what the Lord has done for them in bringing them salvation. These are the things we want to pray for ourselves. These are the things we want to pray for one another. These are the things we want to pray for our children and our grandchildren. Yes, we want them to come to faith in Jesus, but more than that, we want them to mature in the faith of Jesus. Same is true as we pray for our community, as we pray for Christmas, as we pray for the Summer Thrills Camp. Yes, we want to be seeing people come to faith, saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, absolutely. But more than that, we want to see people growing to maturity in the faith in the Lord Jesus. We want people to know the full riches of Jesus so that they may live a life that is worthy of him and pleases him in every way. That's what we want. That's what we want. to the glory of God.